Well, good morning. This has been a very interesting time for me. 42 years old, and you feel like a flood of information has been cascaded through your brain, and you feel like you've learned a good amount, and you can't help but wonder when you're sitting in front of the television and the right is fighting the left, you start to wonder if you're insane or not because you're not really on either side. I don't know if anybody else out there feels the same way, but maybe it has to do with my background. You know, my parents are originally from the country called Nigeria. Growing up, I was always told that I'm not Nigerian, I'm Igbo, which I tend to believe now. I believe in nationalities and citizenship being, for the most part, in certain places of the world, completely mutually exclusive. And I think I hold true to that. My citizenship is obviously of the state called Nigeria and America. I was born in America. So I have, that's why you can have dual citizenships, but not really dual nationalities. But that's neither here nor there for now. I'm sure we'll get deeper into that later. But, you get to a point where you're kind of motivated. You have all these conversations and you don't know if you can affect people around you. You want to affect your children more than anything else in your family. And then, leave some type of memory before you all, bite the big one and start eating dust. So sitting here in Texas, the Breonna Taylor decision comes down, and I'm a constitutionalist. I've always been somebody that will, for the most part, say that the Constitution pretty much wins every battle. We just don't know it. People will get very, very emotional about everything. And it's okay to have some emotion. My wife gets on me because she says I'm completely unemotional. And that's not totally true, but I get where she's coming from when it comes to things that are just truths and based on universal maxims. Yep, I'm unemotional. I can't cry because dogs bark and I don't like the sound of barking dogs. They just move the dog. The Breonna Taylor decision came down, and like the typical mentality, right or left, I fell for the okie doke. So you're listening to all these guys on TV, NBA guys, sports guys, and being from a similar background as the majority of those individuals, I'm African, obviously, born in America. So I guess I'm the real African American. And, I didn't grow up with any money. Grew up in the hood a little bit. I like hip hop music. I like Drake. I can get a little ghetto at times. So yeah, I'm that typical dude, I guess. But at the same time, I was educated at University of Texas, got a petroleum engineering degree. I studied biochemistry and biophysics on my own time because that was my first passion. I just changed my major to petroleum engineering when I was working at the University of Texas Office of Integrative Biology during my initial major, which was biology and biomedical engineering. And then I saw open heart surgery and I said, oh, I didn't know I couldn't see blood. So I switched, but it's still a passion. Still do studies for myself and my own health. I speak 6.5-7 languages. I'm not great at Hebrew, but I can read it and understand a lot of it. I'm not great at Portuguese. I can understand and speak a lot of it. And the other 5, I actually speak. Kind of a weirdo, read Korean, can read Greek, don't know what I'm reading. But, I like to consider myself educated, finished my master's in oil and gas project management. So I got a little bit of stuff in my head. So even though I can get a little ghetto and I like the ghetto-ness in me, I'm not your typical dude. I'm a vegan, kind of weird, like I said. But I've experienced so many things. So I'm this amalgamation of all this nonsense. But so the point of the matter is, you hear these stories about Breonna Taylor and all these things, and I normally don't fall for the okie doke. I normally don't fall for the emotional reaction. And I fell for it. You know, the NBA was coming out talking about Breonna Taylor, and I felt that they were correct. I said, oh, you know, this, you hear this story of officers jumping in somebody's house and killing this woman who's asleep. Okay, cool. So I hear that, and I think that these officers had a search warrant, said open up, they didn't hear anything, shot through the door and killed Breonna Taylor while she was asleep. That's what I thought happened. But then, you know, so obviously you hear that and you think to yourself, well, if that's what happened, then those officers are toast. And, you know, when I saw George Floyd get killed, I had friends arguing with me that, you know, oh no, the system is rigged. This officer's going to get off. Nothing's going to happen to him. And as I told you guys before, I'm a constitutionalist and I've rarely seen the Constitution not work. We just don't know it. I told all my friends, hey guys, sorry, that officer is fried chicken. The same day that I saw that officer step on or kill George Floyd, 100%, I didn't care if George Floyd was on drugs. I didn't care if he was a criminal. It didn't matter. I knew that that officer was fried chicken. And he's going to be fried chicken. He's a done deal. So this case, I didn't, you know, again, I told you I fought for the okey-doke. I didn't pay much attention. I just heard what LeBron James and everybody else in the NBA was saying. Mind you, these guys, I consider the guys in the NBA my brothers. You know, I had my little cup of coffee in the NBA. And, you know, I put on a couple of NBA jerseys. And yeah, they're my brothers. I'm standing with them. It's all good. And if there's a case that has to do with, standing up for civil rights and the dignity of my people, I'm 100% for it. I don't mess around. You come into my house and you're trying to kill me because of my nationality and my background, I'm going to defend myself with with extreme rigor. And I'll do it without any fear of recompense. So I'm with those guys. But I got to tell you guys, man, you got to read all the data. You got to get all the data. You know, you got to understand the law. And my view is my people need to understand the law and force your enemies or so-called enemies to adhere to the law. That is the most important thing. There's no, eliminate the emotion of it. I think of it, I have a daughter who is 15 years old, so she's 10 years away or 11 years away from being the age of Breonna Taylor. And I always put myself or my daughters in that position. How would I feel if my daughter was in the position of Breonna Taylor? This is the audience going to say right now, oh, here comes this non-emotional jerk, Gabriel. Oh, my first name is actually Nana, but you guys can't say it. It's all good. Gabe Moneke, we'll go with that. If this was my daughter, I'd be really angry with my daughter and the guy she decided to call her boyfriend. Sounds terrible, but I would be. The first thing I would think is, baby girl, why are you with this dude? Why are you with a dude who would, if you just take into consideration what he said and say, okay, maybe he's telling the truth. He didn't hear the officers announce themselves. Okay, cool. So you really believe somebody's breaking in? No problem. You believe somebody's breaking in? Why is my daughter next to you, dude? You got your gun. Defend my daughter. Put her in a back room. Say, baby girl, don't move. People are breaking in. I'm going to kill them or I'm going to die. But why is my daughter in the hallway with you? I'd be upset. Maybe that's a jerk father in me, but that's what I'm telling you, what I would think. You know, and then we go in. And so that's a human emotional thing. That's not even talking about the law or logic. That's my personal logic. I don't expect anybody else to agree with my personal logic. I'm just telling you what I would feel if it's my daughter. Now let's go into the logic and the law of the situation. I read what the grand jury wrote. I read the report. Yeah? And the grand jury, you have all these people screaming, crying, no justice, no peace. Oh, the system is rigged. The system is kinda rigged, but understand that that system that is so-called rigged is rigged against everybody. It really is, if you want to consider it. So the system, for example, just to go off on a tangent really quick, and I'll get back to the Breonna Taylor grand jury decision. The system allows for private entities to profit off putting people in jail. Now, it just so happens that they profit mostly off people that look like me, but they profit off the other people too. That system is rigged to screw them too. I saw a video of a young lady, so-called white, I like to say Roman, you know, or Eurasian, get stopped by a police officer, asked her for her license and registration. She wasn't doing anything wrong. He just he said, stopped her, and he made up some ridiculous thing. He said, oh, I saw you swerving, you know, whatever. You left your lane. You were a little wide on your turn. Okay, we all know that's nonsense. There are people out here trying to live and eat and protect their families and just survive. And a cop wants to stop this woman and get $150 out of her, you know. And she's a Eurasian woman. She doesn't expect anything to happen to her. I asked her for a license registration. He gives it. She gives it to him. And, oh, she's got a warrant, bench warrant, had a ticket, didn't pay for it. Okay, now, that officer could do a lot of things to this woman. He could give her another ticket, say, man, go handle your tickets. But he decides to arrest her. This is somebody's mother. It's a woman. She's telling this guy, I'm on my way to a soccer game. Let's just say she's telling the truth. Is it really worth the $300 to put this woman in jail? Is it, as a taxpayer, and she's a Eurasian, she doesn't look like me. She's a so-called white woman. Do I really want my tax money putting this woman in jail? Really? I personally don't care. I just don't. She's not killing anybody. Her first ticket wasn't for anything endangering the public. He had a ticket for whatever it was, a wide turn, you know. And you tell her, okay, cool. Now they arrest this woman. They tow her car. She's got to pay to get her car out. She got to pay to bail out of jail. $2,000 down the hole. That hurts that woman bad. That hurts her life bad and her children's life bad. I don't want to pay my taxpayer money for that to happen to that woman. And she doesn't look like me. She's not so-called black. So the system is set up to benefit private organizations to put people like that, non-violent criminals that are doing nothing to affect public safety, put these people in jail and make money off of them. That's the system. It's a messed up system. Another part of the system, plea bargains. I've been arrested 3 times. One time I was 17 years old. And, you know, you go through, the older you get now, you realize what these people are. But at the time at 17 when I got arrested, I didn't know who these people were. They put me in front of what they call a television judge. And that judge's job is to scare the hell out of you. Their job is to scare the hell out of you. I was arrested for nothing, pulled over because they said I didn't yield to an emergency vehicle, two-lane road, one lane each direction. Cop pulled over some guys on the right side of the road. The cop didn't see me driving by him, and he pulled out in front of me. I swerved out of his way, and he got angry. I don't know. I guess he thought I was supposed to. I don't know. He pulls me over, asks for license and registration, says, what did you throw out of the car? I'm standing there looking at him. This is my first interaction with a cop. By this time, I was no longer in the ghetto. My dad got a new job. So we were in the suburbs now. I was driving a BS truck that my dad let me drive. You know, $800 truck. Coming back from a basketball game. Cop says, what'd you throw out of the car? I'm looking at him. I don't know what he's talking about. Long story short, next thing you know, I'm yanked out of the car, beat up, handcuffed, in jail. 17-year-old, first encounter with a police officer. Bad deal. So, yeah, bad deal. Got arrested. Go walk in. Whatever. I'm in jail. I'm in city jail before they take me to county. And all I remember is what my dad or my father taught me. Professor Ekwunife Moneke, the doc. My dad's a pimp, man. He's a great guy. Unbelievable dude. Very smart. Very strict. But luckily for me, he communicated in his strictness. And he always told me, never make a plea. Never. You just wait for me. Don't say a word. Wait for a lawyer. We will do everything with you. Don't plea anything. No plea bargain, nothing. If they force you, you plead not guilty and look for a jury trial. He buried that in my head, in the head of my brothers and sisters growing up. So luckily for me, I was a 17-year-old. I had a little bit of a father and a mother. And so when that TV judge, you know, they charge you up. They try to scare you. Oh, well, you know, your charges here are not yielding to a emergency vehicle. And the officer said you hit him. You know, simple misdemeanor assault on an officer. You know, that carries with it whatever many years. 17-year-old. Can you imagine if my dad didn't teach me what this was? I just looked at him and said, I don't want to talk. I want a lawyer. Scared 17-year-old boy. They looked at me. By the way, I was a 6'7", 240-pound 17-year-old boy. They didn't figure that. I didn't look like it, but I was. So scared as all can be. Now, you remove me from that situation. I didn't finish the story. I apologize. They said, you can plea bargain now. Get it 2 years probation, and we'll send you home right now. That's what they told me. Is that not just a bunch of garbage? Why are you scaring a 17-year-old into getting probation so you can get paid from the state, 2 year probation, just so he can go home because he's scared for something that you know is going to get dismissed in court? What a farce. But no matter how much, most of you probably don't even know it works like that, but it happens every day. I'm talking about thousands of times a day. People go through the court system in every state, in every city, in every county. And somebody falls for a plea bargain. Oh, I just want to go home. I didn't do anything wrong. But they said that this charge carried 10 to 15 years. So I just took the plea bargain and went home. They just screwed that guy. That's the system that we live in, that we deal with. So the system is set up, you know, to screw everybody. It's basically set up to screw people who don't understand, right? So my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They are destroying us because we don't have the knowledge. Because if you have the knowledge, as soon as they come at you with that nonsense, you just preach to them the Constitution and it works. You know the Constitution, know the truth, and you will be set free. Know what is written in that law, and they can't do anything to you. Now, they can, but not lawfully. Back to Breonna Taylor. Yes, they did something to Breonna Taylor. And they did it lawfully. They did it lawfully. Now, could those officers have been nicer about it? Of course they could have been nicer about it. But that's not a law thing. That's not a system thing. That's an asshole thing. That's an officer, scared little boy, with two other scared little boys, getting excited because they were able to get a lawful search warrant. No knock search warrant. Now, I don't know about you, but in Texas, if the district judge, I guess is what it's called, issues a no-knock search warrant, they got a lot of evidence. They got a lot of evidence because no judge wants to issue a no-knock search warrant and look stupid. Because then he's got to go to his superiors and they're going to ask him, why did you issue this search warrant? Are you nuts? It's not justified. But they issued a no-knock search warrant because they had a lot of garbage. Justified or not, they had a reason to search where they felt Breonna Taylor's boyfriend was. And I have up here the press release from the Attorney General's Office of Kentucky.gov. You're welcome to go to it. It's at Kentucky.gov. And Mr. Kenneth Walker is the boyfriend of Miss Breonna Taylor. And if you read the grand jury's report, if what they said here is true, now obviously if the grand jury is lying, that's just a different case. I have to assume everybody's story is true. And in the grand jury's report, Mr. Walker admittedly, and on TV as recently as yesterday, admittedly shot first, right? But that's not the point. The point is, what did these officers do that was against the law? The law. And we'll get to the emotional side of it too, because as I said, I have a daughter that looks like Breonna Taylor, so I want to protect my daughter too. Right? And I don't particularly like these officers. I don't like them. I'm not on their side. I'm on the side of my people. And I don't want my people to put themselves in a position of danger because I have people that look like these people. And I don't want to be in danger either. So let me start off by saying, before we read some of the excerpts of this report, so-called officers, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, Detective Brett Hackinson, and Detective Miles Corsgrove. Let's call him Miles Corrosive. I don't like these guys. I don't like them. Off top, I don't like them. Sorry. They got approved. For me, these guys who, sign up to be cops, I question their intelligence personally. I'm not a Blue Lives Matter guy. I think it's ridiculous. I'm not a Black Lives Matter guy either. I think that's ridiculous. I think each situation causes for logic and unbiased investigation. That's what I think each situation calls for. So a blanket sticker on my car saying with the American flag in black and white and a blue stripe is stupid. That gives the impression that everybody who's a police officer is just a good guy. Bull. How many of you would sign up for a $35,000 a year gig to put your life on the line? Well, that's why these guys are heroes. Bull. Bull. A hero is somebody who puts his life on the line to defend what he believes in or the people he loves for free. That's a hero. I don't get paid to put my life on the line for my children. I'm a hero. Screw you. Parents are heroes. Parents who stay around for their children are heroes. Parents who don't freak out and run away from their families when things go bad, those guys are heroes. And raise valuable pieces of society. My father is a hero. He fought a war unpaid, the Afrin War, where there was a pogrom in that Biafran War, the literal attempt of a genocide in in eastern Nigeria. He fought that war because he believed in what the Biafrans stood up for. Wrong or right, doesn't matter. He was shot, almost killed, survived, took his family on a scholarship to University of Michigan out of Nigeria where he felt we were in danger. Took his wife and his newborn child, my older brother, Chude, and came to Michigan, studied, broke no laws, worked his butt off to get a PhD, moved his family to Texas, raised five children, for the most part, valuable pieces of society, for the most part. I love my brothers and sisters. And now we're here, adding value to the American system. My dad's a hero. My mom's a hero. These two people did this, both still alive. You're going to have to convince me that some out of shape police officer with his belly hanging over his belt, uniform not fitting well, yelling at people for no reason, telling you, listen to me or else, is a hero. Bull. Take away his paycheck and see if he'll still do it. Like a firefighter, is a hero. No doubt about it. Firefighter, hero. All day. All day. These guys volunteer to save people from fires. Stipe Miocic. Guy's a UFC fighter. Got a good amount of money from fighting. Step into a ring with Daniel freaking Cormier. I wouldn't fight Daniel Cormier. It's a scary dude. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu, and I'm not fighting Daniel Cormier. And I'm bigger than Daniel. Stipe, you're a hero. All day, buddy. But Mr. Mattingly and Mr. Hackinson and Mr. Corrosive, the detectives or the cops over here in Kentucky, they're not heroes. Sorry. A hero would have found a way to get that dude out of that apartment with that search warrant without killing anybody. That would have been a freaking hero. Then the other guy who shoots through a glass window doesn't see what he's shooting at. The only one that they indicted for wanton endangerment. Good call, grand jury. Guy's a monkey. You guys need to read this report. Read this report. If what the grand jury said here is true, a witness, a third party witness, neither an officer or a person related to Breonna Taylor said, yep, we heard the cop beating on the door. They announced themselves. I thought the cops didn't announce themselves. Because if the story that was being told by my brothers in the NBA was true. And mind you, I have a family member, I won't say her name, a family member who's at the head of some of these protests for Breonna Taylor. A sports athlete. I have a family member that's at the head of it. And I disagree with this family member. Because this family member didn't tell me all the details. Maybe she didn't know. Don't know. But if you read this and these details are true, I'm angry at you, Mr. Walker, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend. The grand jury's report says that the officers, after repeated knocking and identifying themselves, because I thought the story I was getting maybe incorrectly or correctly, I don't know, The story I was getting from the athletes on TV was the cops just bust in there and started shooting and killed a girl in her sleep. I didn't even know that Breonna Taylor's boyfriend was there. I thought he wasn't there. So based on that narrative, of course I'm like, dude, this is messed up. These officers just bust down the door because they had a search warrant and started shooting? You kidding me? These guys better go to jail is what I'm thinking. But read the report, comes out, says the officers identified themselves. Witnesses say they identified themselves. Yeah. They came in. Mr. Walker, boyfriend of Breonna Taylor, shot first. And then the officers returned shots. I believe it said a total of 10 shots were fired, I believe. Detective Hackinson fired his weapon 10 times, including from outside a sliding glass door and through a bedroom window. Some bullets traveled through, I'm reading from the report, apartment 4 and into apartment 3 before some exited that apartment, excuse me. At the time, 3 residents of the apartment, 3 were at home, including a male, pregnant female, and a child. There is no conclusive evidence that any bullets fired from Detective Hackinson's weapon struck Miss Taylor. The KSP ballistics analysis did not identify which of the 3 officers fired the fatal shot. The FBI crime lab was asked to conduct an analysis to see if their analysis reached the same results. The FBI ballistics analysis concluded that the fatal shot was fired by Detective Corrosive Cosgrove. Detective Corrosive Cosgrove, he's the one who shot, killed this beautiful goddess, this queen of ours, Miss Taylor. SPU looked at both reports to determine if there were major differences in the procedures used by each lab that would have led the FBI to identify who fired the fatal shot. Both law enforcement agencies used similar equipment and analysis, but issued different findings. And so Mr. Hackinson, the one who apparently missed Miss Taylor, man, this is a terrible story. Man. Looks like Mr. Walker, boyfriend of Miss Taylor, shot first. Sergeant Mattingly returned fire down the hallway. Mattingly fired 6 shots. Almost simultaneously, that Detective Cosgrove from also in the doorway area shot 16 times. God dang it. So, Sergeant Mattingly and Detective Corrosive Cosgrove are at the door, the front door. Mattingly shoots 6. The guy behind him, who sees less, shoots 16. Cowards. Coward. I don't know about you guys. I'm minimally trained in guns. Minimally. I'm well trained in martial arts, black belt in jiu-jitsu, well trained in Muay Thai. And the last thing that I want in this kind of situation, in a small hallway with somebody who just shot at me once, is to be shooting 16 times. I wouldn't be able to think straight. I got to figure out what's going on. I'm just going to start shooting. That's nuts. So, Mr. Mattingly at the front door, 6 shots. Detective Corrosive, who killed Breonna Taylor, 16 shots at the doorway. And Mr. Hackinson at the back door sees nothing, fires 10. 6, 16, 10, 32 total shots. after Mr. Walker shoots one. In my experience, reading some of these, I try not to read the news articles. I always try to go read the Department of the respective Department of Justice's reports, the Attorney General's reports is what I like to read. The court documents, I read those. I want to get the details, the facts, because the news isn't giving me any of it. All this stuff I'm reading today, combined CNN, Fox News, you know, athletes. I got more information in 30 seconds reading this report from the Attorney General's office than all that garbage combined over the past 6 months. Nobody told me these things. It's disgraceful. And I'm telling you, in my experience of reading many court reports, Attorney General reports, Department of Justice reports, for three police officers to return 32 shots after being shot at is mild. Mild. These guys normally, they are cowards. For the minimal threat, for the minimal threat of their life, they will unload 20 clips. They unload. And when a body's on the ground, they keep shooting. In this whole report, I got to tell you, what's this guy's name? Sergeant Mattingly? In the front? He's in the front. Shot only 6 times? I got to meet this guy, Mattingly. I'm shocked. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I don't like him. But he's probably smarter than the rest. He shot 6 times. The best officer would have found a way to say, hey, man, put that gun down. I'm a cop. It's a cop. And so therein lies the problem that I believe is the problem. Officers who are ill-trained to de-escalate. That's what I believe the problem is. And the other problem is the officers are very biased with their de-escalation skills. And this is why, again, it has to do with the system and knowing the law. Check it out. This is my hypothesis on this. The system allows for people who have the resources to defend themselves to be in a better position than people who do not have the resources to defend themselves. Historically speaking, people that look like me have not had the resources, money, and or knowledge to defend themselves. Back to my story about when I got arrested. Why was I able to avoid getting screwed by the system? The system just wanted its money from me. They just wanted a plea bargain. The district attorney, when I got arrested, they just wanted a quick plea bargain. Chalk up some more dough, chalk up another win for the system, boom, boom, next. I wasn't able to get out of it because of money. I didn't have money. I was able to avoid getting screwed because of knowledge. My dad taught me, don't accept a plea bargain, nah, he said. If they force you to make a plea, you plead not guilty, and I want a jury trial. Knowledge saved me. My dad gave me that knowledge. That's what saved me. Nothing else. The system wanted another, what will we call them? Sacrificial lamb. They wanted to chew up another sacrificial lamb and spit out lamb chops. And knowledge allowed me to get out of there. So, these officers who may be racist, may not be racist, may be assholes, may be strong, may be good, who knows? They're human. I'm a natural asshole. Admittedly, Nana Gabriel Moneke is a natural asshole. I admit it. It doesn't, all of a sudden, if I volunteer, if I, you know, go to the police academy and put on a blue uniform, it doesn't make me a hero. I'm still an asshole. You know, so now these guys come in. This guy, this cop could be a jerk, could be married, you know, could be a scaredy cat, could be a tough guy, could be racist, who knows? I don't know. One thing they do know, these officers know, they don't like being sued. And their department doesn't like being sued. They don't like it. So when these cops come into these so-called white neighborhoods, these Roman neighborhoods, or these Eurasian neighborhoods, or people with money, which historically has been people that don't look like me, they are more careful. So, all of a sudden, this scaredy cat cop learns how to de-escalate really quick. Because if he doesn't, he may do the same thing to this Roman person, this Eurasian person, this guy with a little bit of money, or may not have money. The cop doesn't know. He's just rolling the dice. Most likely this guy in this neighborhood probably has some money to sue me civilly. So let me try to de-escalate because I don't want to be sued. Doesn't mean he won't kill him. You better believe he will kill him. If he thinks his life's in danger, he'll kill him. White or black, he'll kill him. You know, so-called white or so-called black. I don't like those terms that don't acknowledge nationality. I prefer something else. So these cops roll the dice. Those three cops went into Breonna Taylor's apartment knowing that if I execute the law, I'm not going to get in trouble. Yeah, he's thinking there, yeah, I could de-escalate it if I wanted to. But why take the chance this guy may kill me? Screw it, I'll just shoot. I'll defend myself. Consequences be damned, except for this Mr. Idiot, what's his name? Where is he at? Mattingly? Nope, not Mattingly, sorry. Mr. Hackinson. The son of a hack. Hankinson, sorry. Hankison. His name is Hankison. He's shot from the back door. Saw no one. Bang, bang, bang. 10 times. Who are you shooting at, dude? Who are you shooting at? He needs to go to jail. For sure. For sure. Put him in jail. He's an idiot. Detective Brett Hankinson. Put him in jail. And you better believe this, guys. You say there was no justice for Breonna Taylor? You better believe that if Brett Hankinson's bullet hit Breonna Taylor, that's why it's in this report. That's why the specifics about whose bullet hit her is in this report. Because it's important. Because if Hankinson, the one who was charged with wanton endangerment, if his bullet hit Miss Taylor and killed her, he's fried chicken. Absolutely. Constitution, guys. Constitution. Learn the law, know the law, and force these sons of bitches to adhere to it. They attack us and attack our people, and they do it within the law. And so the law has a small margin for subjective action, subjective decision, small margin. It's within that margin where people get really emotional and feel like the law doesn't exist anymore. Just because we can argue within this small margin doesn't mean the Constitution is dead. It's a little margin in that Constitution. That's where the argument happens. But when you talk about arguments on the right or on the left, their arguments are, you know, non-constitutional versus alien abduction. It's not even constitutional. It's ridiculous. You know, on a side note, Miss Justice Ginsburg, who died, you hear all this stuff about her last wishes. There are things that I can say on this thing. I'll try to be respectful and be nice. You know, not nice because you don't know what nice means. It's a bad word, actually. I'll try to be respectful. But guys, really, really, I'm listening to all this media coverage. The last wishes, the last dying wishes of Justice Ginsburg, last dying wishes. I'm like, what was her wishes? And I finally read it. That I not be replaced before the next president is elected. What? Are you guys serious? Look, Judge Ginsburg, with all due respect to you and your family, rest in peace. Right? But who do you think you are? I mean, guys, she's dead. She's not here. Even Jesus told his disciples to let the, when they wanted to bury their father, let the dead bury their own dead. Come on, guys, we're alive here. We're living on this earth. And we're supposed to go against the Constitution because this lady that everybody loves so much, I don't even know her, said, I mean, I am disappointed that the judge said that. Justice Ginsburg, come on. Your last dying wish, don't replace me before a president is elected. Come on, guys. But anyway, if Mr. Hackinson's Hankison, if his bullet would have hit Ms. Breonna Taylor, he would have been fried chicken. If you want to get into the argument that the ballistics offices or the ballistics, the SPU and the ballistics unit of Kentucky, of the FBI in Kentucky, lied in order to keep Mr. Hankinson out of prison, that's a different argument. I don't know. You know, labs do shady crap all the time. Sorry. Anyway, if Mr. Hankinson's bullet hit Ms. Taylor, he'd be fried chicken. So if you want to get into the argument that the ballistics labs of the SPU, Kentucky's SPU and the FBI, you know, ballistic laboratory, lied, KSP ballistics and FBI crime lab lied to protect Mr. Hankinson. It's a different story. Could happen. I don't know. I'm only giving you guys the assessment based on the report. If the report is true, if all the details in this report and investigation is true, then the person to be angry at is not the cops. At least I wouldn't be. And I'm a mean guy. You kill one of mine unjustly, gonna be a problem. I'm not a reasonable person when it comes to lawlessness. I like the Second Amendment. I like the First and all of them, really. I like them. So, you know, international law, love it. Constitutional law is international law. Love it. Love the contract. Teach our people the contract and the rules of engagement. If you know the rules of engagement, it's difficult for these guys to mess with you. If these officers come into the ghetto, the hood, our neighborhoods, my old neighborhoods, my neighborhood, my house, And they know, as a whole, these people know the law. Believe you me, they're going to interact with us much less. Because there's no money in people who know the law. There's money in dumb people. There's a lot of money to be made with people who don't know the law. Evidence from SPU's investigation shows that officers both knocked and announced their presence at the apartment. I was given the impression from athletes that the cops just came in unannounced and shot. You can't come in unannounced. The law won't allow it. Constitution doesn't allow it. You have to announce your presence. You have to tell people you're an officer. Because if you didn't have to, and you come into my house and don't tell me you're a cop, you're probably going to go out in a body bag. I'm not Mr. Walker, and a lot of people like me aren't Mr. Walker. They have some money to have really big guns, and we don't miss. So the Constitution puts that law in there, not just for the people, but for the cops. Why would a cop come into a house unannounced? That puts his life in danger, and he knows it. He doesn't want to die. Hey, guys, this busted man just starts shooting. Hey, Bill, what if that guy has a gun? Ah, screw that. Let's just go shoot. That's really dumb. So they put that law in there so the officers and the people can survive. Let me keep reading. The officers' statements about their announcement are corroborated by an independent witness who was near in proximity to Ms. Taylor's apartment. It's what it says. This is evidence from the Special Prosecution Unit of Kentucky. Attorney General Cameron today announced the completion of that investigation. Man, this is a terrible story. Let me tell you, I dislike Sergeant Mattingly, Detective Hank Eason, and Detective, so-called Detective Corrosive Cosgrove. I dislike him. I dislike him so much, I'm really angry that Mr. Walker gave them the ammunition to kill my sister. Or I wouldn't say, let me apologize to Mr. Walker. You didn't give them the ammunition, but you didn't equip yourself in order to prevent these gentlemen from killing this woman. And our women are the most important thing in our community. They are the gold of our community. They are the platinum, the diamond of our community. Without them, we cease to exist. These beautiful, brown, shining stars, these brown dwarves, shining stars on this planet, these women of ours. It's a terrible story. And you let these monkeys get away with it because of your lack of knowledge, Mr. Walker. Your lack of knowledge, your ignorance is why Ms. Taylor, in my opinion, is not here. You let these murderers, these animals, yes, Sergeant Mattingly and Hank Eason and Corrosive Cosgrove. Okay, those insults to those guys, they're personal, they're biased. But I don't like giving these kind of people ammunition. I don't like giving them ammunition. Unfortunate. But how do we avoid these kind of things in the future? My people, learn the law. Learn the law. Mr. Walker says he thought people were breaking into the apartment.
And you shot one time?
Wow. Shot one time. That's a... And by the way, I'll read more of this investigation real quick, just so you guys can see. When officers were unable to get anyone to answer or open the door to the apartment, the decision was made to breach the door. Just on a quick note, if I'm an officer there knocking on the door and then my superior officer makes a decision to breach the door, I'm already scared. I'm already scared. I don't want to break that damn door down. I want the guy to answer the door because I don't want to die. After breaching the door, Sergeant Mattingly was the first and only officer to enter the residence. Look at that. Nobody told me this on CNN or Fox News. Sergeant Mattingly identified two individuals standing beside one another at the end of the hall, a male and a female. In his statement, he says that the male was holding a gun, arms extended, in a shooting stance. So at what point, anyway, Mattingly saw the man's gun fire, heard a boom. So the officer who came in there, the only one who came in there, heard a boom and immediately knew he was shot as a result of feeling heat in his upper thigh. Mr. Kenneth Walker fired the shot that hit Sergeant Mattingly, and there's no such evidence to support Sergeant Mattingly was hit by friendly fire from other officers. Mr. Walker, Brandon Taylor's boyfriend, admitted that he fired one shot and was the first to shoot. In addition to all the testimony, the ballistics report shows that the round that struck Sergeant Mattingly was fired from a 9mm handgun. The Louisville Police Department officers fired 40 caliber handguns. Sergeant Mattingly returned fire down the hallway. Mattingly fired 6 shots. So the man who shot 6 shots was the one who was hit. The other guys who weren't even hit shot 10 and 16. Mr. Hankison started firing from behind, from outside. Didn't see who he was firing at. Started firing from outside. And the guy who was with Mr. Mattingly, the officer who was shot, Cosgrove, shot 16 on the inside. Guys, Mr. Walker said he thought people were breaking in, shot one shot, standing next to his girlfriend. If it's my daughter, brother, why are you defending my daughter with people breaking in the house and she's next to you? She needs to get out of there. And upon shooting the officer one time, I tend to believe that if you thought someone was breaking in, you probably would have shot more. His fellow officers returned fire. Guys, let's get educated and get informed. Do some reading on our own. The news is not our friend. These officers are not our friend. The best ammunition against an enemy, so-called enemy, or perceived enemy, is resources and knowledge. And when resources and knowledge play their course, you defend yourself with reckless abandon. Love my people, man, but I don't like the lack of knowledge. And I'd love for all of us to get it from me, my children, and everybody else involved. This is what it do. This is what it is. The truth will come out inevitably. And you cannot defeat nature. Nature is and always will be God's undefeated tool. One love, man.